Okay, the Gemara here is discussing, we're in the bottom side of Gvedam of Bet, the machlokus between Rav and Shmuel, whether we go Bata Rof when it comes to Dinei Mimonos, do we follow the Rof? So the Gemara is bringing different Tanaic sources in order to prove one side or the other, and it's found here. Obviously, the Gemara is eventually going to get to our Mishnah to use that as a proof. So the Gemara at the bottom of Tzadik Ben Bet, three lines up, Tashma, Mocher Eved Chaviro, Rimsa Ganav, O Kuvyustus. Person sells a servant, right, to his friend, he sells an Eved Knani to his friend, and Pitom suddenly finds out that he's a thief, or that he's a kidnapper. So the Gemara says, Higiel, he gets him. That's it. That's what, you know, bad luck, but that's what you get. Listim Zuyin, O Muchtav the Machut. Alright, if on the other hand, he is an armed robber, or he has already been sentenced to death by the government, then he gets to return it and say, this is yours. I mean, you sold me a dead man. You can't sell me a dead man. Now, if he's alive, and he just has to have some bad habits, like kidnapping or stealing, then you keep him. It's my timer. Is it not because Rov Avadim are involved in these types of practices? This is their field of endeavor, and since this is their field of endeavor, you expect when you buy them to get this. So this would be a question on Shmuel, right? Because here we see in Mamononos we're going, but the Rov. Shmuel says, no, not a kulu achitnuhu. Forget about Rov. They all do this. This is their profession. Right, these are what they're involved in. That one, it's not even that we're a sumech ala rov that they do this. You should expect when you buy an Eved, that's what you're going to get. That's part of the package. Eved comes with that. And therefore, it's not rov avadim, it's kol avadim. And therefore, you should have expected otherwise. So now we're not dealing with rov, we're dealing with kulo. Alright, Tashma. The next Tanaic question, next Raisa, sure. It's actually a Mishnah. Sure, shenagachet apara. Right, so we've had this. We actually come up a couple of times. Sure, it's nogach apara v'nimtza ubra b'tzida, and then we find that it's miscarried and the fetus is sitting out on the side. Veni adua, we don't know. Im achlo nagcha yada, right? That before it was gored, it already miscarried. Oh, im mishnagcha yada. Or on the other hand, it first got gored, and the goring is what caused the miscarriage of the fetus. So therefore, we shalem chatzi nezek the para. When it comes to the para, you pay chatzi nezek. We're talking about a tam here, a short tam. So he pays half nezek to the para, which is the full amount that he would have to pay in this situation. Urevi'a levlad. And you pay a quarter for the vlad. So again, if you remember there, the Gemara established that the Mishnah is sumchus, that's mamana muta b'safek, right? There's a safek here with regards to the vlad. And because there's a safek with regards to the vlad, therefore, we split it. So if you're talking about a short time, you're talking about chatzin nezek. If you split that, you end up with a quarter. All right, v'amai. Why, what's the story here? Zilema, halacha charov parot. Let us go after, according to Rabba, we go after the rov. Let's go after rov parot. Rov parot, midabrot, v'yoldot. All right, we know that most parot, if you took a census, right, of all the farmers, and you asked about cows, what would be the din by cows? Most cows, when they get impregnated and they have an ubar, they give birth to a live baby. So if that's the rov is that they'll end up with a live baby. So vaha vadai machman negicha yipila. And therefore, the fact that we now have, right, a miscarriage or a fetus sitting on the side here, it must be that it was caused by an outside factor, right, an exogenous variable, which is the goring of the shor. The fact that a shor was mogeach, was gored, the animal is what caused the miscarriage. Otherwise, you should go after the rov. So this would be a question on Rav. Gemara says, Hata mishum desveikalan. Now, we have another suffix. What's the suffix over here? The ikala meimar mikama ato umibi ututa hepila. The ikala meimar machora ato umingach nagcha vipila. Because even if you assume that the miscarriage by the para was caused by the shor, there are two different ways that it can cause the miscarriage. One possibility is the negicha, that it actually gored it, and that's what caused the miscarriage. The other possibility is the fear, which the Gemara talks about in other places, that fear is one of the items that causes a miscarriage. So therefore, if the shor was approaching from behind, and therefore the para never could have gotten scared, the only way it could have miscarried is if it actually got gored. The other way around, if it's approaching from the front, and the para sees the shor approaching it, and it miscarries because it's afraid it's going to get gored, right? Or the possibility it got gored. So now, when you say the fear is going to cause the miscarriage, fear is simply a grama, right? Even though right? Meaning that there is some correlation between the fact that the shor is approaching the para and the miscarriage. Nevertheless, since it's all done through grama, you'd be patur. And that's the safek over here. So, have a mamon amutal b'safek. Since we're uncertain as to how this happened, right? Therefore, it's mamon amutal b'safek. V'chol mamon amutal b'safek chokim. So, we eliminated the issue of rov over here. Because even if you say rov parot yildot, right, that's fine. So now we have on the other side of that, which is the possibility that negicha caused the problem. Once we have negicha that caused the problem, negicha itself might not have been the issue. It might have been simply the fact that it's afraid, right, of the approaching shor, and that fear is what caused the miscarriage. So you cannot assign the full culpability in the instance of negicha to the shor, because there's a possibility it came through biyutata. All right, now, let's just say that this is a machloket tanaim. Rav and Shmuel is similar to another machloket tanaim. Why? Shor shayaru eh, so a shor that was grazing. V'nimsa shor harug v'tzido, and there's a dead shor right next to it. And afalpi shezem nugach, right? Even though this one is gored, meaning that it has marks of being gored. V'zem mu'ad digach. And this, the one who's standing right next to him, is a mu'ad already. We know that he's already gored a number of animals three times. Right? Zem nushach, or this one's bitten. Right? Zem mu'ad lishoch. And the other one is a mu'ad to bite. I mean that there's heavy circumstantial evidence that the shor standing here is the one that perpetrated the crime and killed the shor that is sitting next to him on the floor that's dead. So, ein omrim biyadua shezenacho v'zenashcho. We don't say that it's a given. That the we don't go after the circumstantial evidence here to say that this one did the goring or this one did the biting. Rav Acha says gamal ha'ocher ben agmalim, a gamal that's ocher ben agmalim. Over here, the Rashbam favors the interpretation that this is the mating season, and a gamal ocher is a mating gamal. And as he says, the phrase that the Rashbam uses is that. Stam behemot v'shat tashmit mishtagot, that they go crazy at the time of the mating. Umakin zcharim zedze, and the zcharim go fight. I mean, that is true. Certain animals, but that's not just a mishtagea. That's a part of their nature. They fight over the female. But over here, he makes as a general statement that during the mating season, the males do act in, or behave in manners that are considered to be irrational. And we find a dead gamal right next to this one. Biyadua shezerago. Said it's a given that this gamal did it. So here from this bryce, it sounds like one of them circumstantial evidence is yes, the other one's circumstantial evidence is no. So now Gemara says Savrua, so you already know how the Gemara is going to get out of this problem. Savrua, deruba v'chazaka kadadei ninhu. The Gemara says the underlying assumption here is that rov and chazaka will function in the same way. Over here we're talking about chazaka. Why are we talking about chazaka? We're talking about umdana. Umdana is that we assume, based on the circumstantial evidence, what the outcome is. So the Tanakhama says we don't have an umdana. Just because there's a shor mu'ad standing here and there's a shor minugach that has been gored and dead next to him, we don't assume that he did it. So we don't assume there's a chazaka. Whereas Rav Acha says that if we have a gamal meuchar, if we have a camel that is in the mating or the frenzy of mating, and therefore there's a dead gamal next to it, we assume that he's done it. So that's a chazaka that he's done it. So Gemara now wants to make the leap, the quantum leap, that just like by chazaka we assume that chazaka is enough to make a determination in mamon, so too we'll say the same thing by rov. That rov will be enough of a determination by mamon. It's clear here that Rav Acha says that when we go after umdana of the milsa, that's only in dinei mamononos, that we go after umdana. It's not in dinei nefashot, only in dinei mamononos. The other thing to note over here is why then, if Rav Acha, just in a logical sense of the Mishnah is talking about a shor, and then it goes switches to gamal. Why does it switch from shor to gamal when it comes to Rav Acha's statement? Rav Acha could, if it's all stam behemot, when they are mating, are in a frenzied state and they act in an irrational manner, why does the Mishnah switch to gamal from shor? So Tosfos mentions over here that afilu gamal should tzanua b'tashmisho talina b'ekevin sheboeit b'shashim ocha. So the Tosfos says that a gamal is unique, meaning that there's a bigger chiddush, that a gamal, that even though it's a nua, generally in its tashmish, nevertheless, when it's in the frenzy of mating, it kicks and it does acts irrationally or lashes out. So because of that, we're going to assume that he is responsible for the death that is next to him. But what Shaul says is true. The Rashbam mentions that Gamal here is because the Gamal is not Muad. Despite the fact that the Gamal is not Muad, we still create the Umdana, and that's the Chiddush of Rav Acha. Second thing is, the obvious answer what the Gemara is going to do is that Savrua. The Gemara made an assumption that Ruba and Chazak are equal. You can always eliminate that. That's the underlying assumption is the problem with the proof here, and that's what we're going to do. So let's say Rav says like Rav Acha. Ushmo damar ketana kamo. Rav is like Rav Acha, so therefore, just like we go Batar Umdana, we'll also go Batar Rov. And Shmuel is like the Tana Kama. Just like we don't go Batar Umdana, we won't go Batar Rov. So Amar Lecha Rav. Ana damri afilu the Tana Kama. I can explain according to Tana Kama. Ad kan lo kamar Tana Kama otem el tulo azlin and Batar Chazaka. That over there, you're talking about Chazaka. He doesn't go after Umdana when it comes to issues of these animals. Ava Batar Ruba azlin, and for sure, when it comes to a Rov, we'll go after the Rov. Ushmuel Amar Lecha Ana damri afilu the Rav Acha. I can even hold, right? I can hold like Rav Acha. Ad kan lo mekar Rav Acha v'hatam el dazlin about the chazaka, the whole gufei muchzak. Right? Because there, when we're talking about the chazaka, it's the shore himself. This shore is the one who's muchzak to be a muad. We're not talking about in general. Whereas, about the ruba lo dazlin, when it comes to Rov is something that's not in front of us. Right, meaning that the difference, Rav will just say, listen, Rov is better than Chazaka. There's nothing to talk about. Rov is better than Chazaka. So just because the Tana Kama doesn't hold the Chazaka, doesn't mean that he holds a Rov. Shmuel will say, what? It has to do with let the Kaman or Kaman. When we're talking about Chazaka, we're talking about something that's Kaman, something that's in front of us. We have a shore Mu'ad standing in front of us. It's next to a dead shore. That already Chazaka Umdana Rav Acha is willing to do. When you're talking about Ruba, we're talking about Rova Olam. You're talking about something that's a fact about general animals or general situation. We have no evidence in this situation that this animal necessarily conducted itself this way or something like this happened in this situation. So Shmuel said that over here, we won't go Batar Rov. Even though Rav Acha holds Batar Umdana by Chazaka, you won't go Batar Rov. Right, so now the Gemara says, what's this doing over here? Right, what's this whole thing of Rav? What's the whole Mechokas Rav Shmuel over here? Well, the proof from our Mishnah Tashma. So a person sells fruit to his friend, right, and plants them, and they don't grow. Vafilu zera pishtan. Even if he buys flax seed, the seller is not responsible in these cases if they do not grow. So my afilu, right? What does that mean? Afilu. Afilu means there's a bigger chiddush when it comes to pishtan. What's the chiddush when it comes to pishtan? My afilu lava afilu zera pishtan ruba lezriya zavne. That most people when they go and they purchase flax seed, they're buying it to plant. That's the general usage of flax seed, despite the fact that it's generally used for flax seed. Nevertheless, what does our Mishnah say? That is no achrayut. The mocher is not. Why? Because there's a miut that buys it for achila, or there's a miut that buys it for other reason. If there's a miut, that's enough. So what is it? That's against Rav again. This is like Shmuel, which says we don't go after the Rov when it comes to dinim emanos. But the Rov. So over here we don't go after the Rov. Now the Gemara says Tanahi. This is a machloket Tanaim. The Gemara switches over here and switches to it being a machloket Tanaim based on Tosefta. Now the Rashbam, we'll see in a second. The Rashbam points out that wait. Why don't we say we go after Batar Rov Inshe? Just keep that in mind. The Gemara could have answered over here, we go after Batar Rov Inshe. Just keep that in mind. I'll come back and explain that in a second. Tanayi, Tzmachogas Tanayim, D'Tanya, Mocher Perot Chevero V'Zaran V'Lo Tzimchu. So again, the Rashbam eliminates the Girsa of Perot. But here, you have somebody plants something and it doesn't grow. If Zaroni Ginashin and Achalim, if they are seeds that generally are not eaten, meaning that they're made for seeds, then Chayav Achriyotan. It's clear that there is Chayav to replace them because they only purchase. The reason somebody buys these are for planting. Zera pishtan enu chayav echitan. On the other hand, if he buys flax seed, then he does not responsible for it. Obviously, why? Because the rove, even though the rove is what is used for planting, nevertheless, since there's a mute that does not use it for planting, therefore he's off the hook. That's like Shmuel. This is the Tana Kama. Rabbi Yossi says, notain lo demei zera. He has to pay for the demei zera. He has to replace the seed. So Amrulo, now there's a third Tana, which is in response to him. Harbe lochimo to the dvarim acherim. Many people buy it for other reasons. People buy flax seed not for simply for planting. They buy it for many other reasons. So man tnai. What is the machlokas tanaim over here? We have three tanaim. Who is like whom? So Gemara says ilema Rabbi Yossi Amrulo. If you're talking about Rabbi Yossi and the Amrulo, which are the last two in the Mishnah, there tavayu batarubas linan. Both of them go after the rove. Mar azle bata ruba de inshe, umar azle bata ruba de zriya. That they go after, their only machlokas, or the simple machlokas here is about which rove you will follow. Everybody agrees you follow the rove. The question is, which one of those ruba do you go after? Do you go after the rove zera, rove seeds? Rove seeds are purchased to be planted. Or do you go after rove people who buy flax seed? Rove people who buy flax seed are using it for ulterior or alternate usages. So meaning that when you come, in quantitatively, most seeds or flax seeds are purchased to be planted. So if you come, the one who's going to plant seeds buys a volume, makes huge volumes of it. On the other hand, people buy flax seeds for other reasons. So most people who buy flax seeds, you know, meaning that the number of people who come to buy it for other reasons. So you have two aruba here, but both of them agree that you go but the aruba. So that can't be the machlokas tanaim that we're referring to here, because when both tanaim here believe you go after the rove. Ella, the machlokas tanaim is ila tanakama Rabbi Yossi. So machlokas between tanakama and Rabbi Yossi. Tanakama says we do not go but the rove. That's why by zera pishtan you're not chayav. Whereas Rabbi Yossi says you are chayav. Or itanakama v'amrulo. Or the tanakama again who says but the rove, that you don't go but the rove. And the Amrullah, which is the third Tana, who says we do go at the Rove, it's just a different Rove that we're going after. We go but the Rove Inche. Even though they both agree that Allah is you're not Chayav, the reason you're not Chayav is for different reasons. The Tana Kama says you're not Chayav because we don't go but the Rove whatsoever. The Amrullah says we go, you're Patur because we go after Rove Inche. And that's the Patur over here. So either way, it's the Tana Kama is Shmuel, which is that we don't go after Rove. The other two Tanaim, which is either Rabbi Yossi or the Amrullah, those two Tanaim are holding like Rav, that we do go Batar Rove over here. So now the question that the Rashbam raises over here.
So we conclude that it's Machlokes Rav Shmuel is
Machlokes Tanaim, right? Correct. So now the question is, why did the Gemara go this way? And why didn't the Gemara before, this is the Rashbam asked, the Gemara before had a problem from our Mishnah. Our Mishnah says, "Amocher perod chaverov zaran v'lo tzimchu." Right, he plants these fruits and they don't grow. Va'afilu zara pishtan. Even if he plants pishtan, enu chayav be'achriutan. Which is our Mishnah. Mishnah says, "You're not chayav be'achriutan." So how come the Gemara says, "Okay, it must be a machlokes tanaim"? The Gemara can't explain Rav in our Mishnah. Right, I mean, it says Rav and Shmuel. The Mishnah sounds exactly like Shmuel. The only way Rav can get out of this is to say it's a machlokes tanaim. Why couldn't Rav answer, right, that our Mishnah just says we go but rov inche? Rav could have answered that you're right. Our Mishnah, the halacha in our Mishnah is enu chayav be'achrutan. But the reason it's enu chayav be'achrutan is because you go but the rov inche. I mean that Rav could have established the Mishnah as being like him, which is that rov is dictating. But the rov that's dictating here is a different rov. It's talking about rov inche and not rov zera. That's what the Rashbam asks. I read the next braisa to show you that there is such a shita. So the Rashbam says, why can't Rav ask it? Why is the Gemara forced to say it's a machlokes tanaim over here? Because the Mishnah says, "Hamocher perod chaverov zaran velo tzimchu." Now, had the Mishnah wrote afterwards, "Zara pishtan enu chayav be'achutam," then you could have explained it this way. The problem is that the Mishnah uses the word afilu. Afilu means that there's a chiddush, right, that is greater than the chiddush before it, which is that "Hamocher perod chaverov zaran velo tzimchu." Over there, it's clear, right? We're not talking about rov inche. Over there, we're talking about rov zera. When the Mishnah then comes and says, "Afilu zara pishtan," right? What's the chiddush? If you're talking about rov inche, then pishtan is not unique. There's nothing unique about Pishtan. So if there's nothing unique about Pishtan, right, then you can't explain Rov Inche as being the Chiddush of Pishtan. If you say that the reason that Pishtan is the Chiddush in the Mishnah says Afilu is because we're talking about Zera and Rov Zera, then you could say the Mishnah is introducing a Chiddush by Rov. But if you say it's the answer of the Mishnah is that, oh, the Mishnah is talking about Rov Inche, then Afilu should not be in the Mishnah. The word Afilu indicates there's something unique about Zera Pishtan that is not true in other seeds. That's only true, what? When it comes to Zera itself. The Zera itself. That's not true by Rov Inche. When it comes to Rov Inche, you can't make that argument that something's unique to Zera Pishtan. Says that's why you couldn't explain the Mishnah that way. So that's why the Gemara does not bring that as a proof. Alright, next proof. Tana banana. Ma'unu teino. Now, what does he have to pay back? I mean, that here, all of a sudden he sold them seeds. They don't work. They don't plant. So Rabbi Yossi, for instance, is the case where Rabbi Yossi says that you have to pay him, right, Zera, Dmei Zera. Right, what is he paying him over here? So Ma'otenlo, Dmei Zera, Velo Hota'a. Does he simply replace the seeds, but not all of his expenditures? I mean, here he went and he plowed the field, he planted the field, and he gets, the seeds were duds, so they didn't grow. So when they didn't grow, right, what does that mean? So the Gemara says, okay, that's all he gets back. That's too bad. You got a dud. I'm sorry. All I sold you were bad seeds. The rest is grama. mean that, right, I sold you bad seeds, but the rest, all the other expenditures that you went through are simply grama. I can't be chayiv for that. V'yishomim af hotza'a. Even the hotzaot, even your expenditures, he's going to be chayav for. Now, based on what I just said, then how do you solve that problem? I mean, if it is grama v'zikin, everybody agrees, but grama v'zikin, you potur. So the Rashbam claims that it's a knas. This is simply a knas. It's knas on sellers not to sell bad seed, because when they sell bad seed, right, they're going to have, not only going to have to replace the seed, they're going to have to pay out all the expenditures that this person went through. So it's a knas. Right. We assume that there's or that he has to guarantee, he's warranting the seed somehow, so that he's going to be insured that he's selling good seed. It's an incentive to make sure that he's doing the best he can. Right, to have to check to see if they grow. Okay, so my Yeshomrim. Who are the Yeshomrim over here? I'm Rav Chista, Rav Shimon Gamliel. So Rav Shimon Gamliel, and we bumped into Rav Shimon Gamliel. Rav Shimon Gamliel is found in our Mishnah here. Right, Rav Shimon Gamliel is the sefer of our Mishnah. Rav Shimon Gamliel says, that Zorene Gina, which are not eaten, you're definitely Chayav Bachriutan. So now the Gemara wants to know, hi Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, what are we talking about, Rabbi Shimon Gamliel? Elim Rabbi Shimon Gamliel de Masnisen, if we're not about the Rabbi Shimon Gamliel of our Mishnah we just mentioned, it's not. Amucher, Perot Chaviro, Zeran, Velotzimchu, Vafilu, Zarapishtan, right, Enu Chayav. Or Afilu Zerapishtan, Enu Chayav Bachriutan. So now, our Mishnah, the Tana Kama says, if you plant fruit, right? Or you bought fruit and then you planted the seeds. Or you bought Zera Pishtan and you planted them. You're not responsible. So now what would be the inference? Ema Seifa. So what Rabbi Shimon Gamliel says? Zera Gina, Shena Nachlim, Chayav Bechutan. That Rabbi Shimon Gamliel comes and says, wait, if you bought seeds that are not normally eaten, then for sure you bought them for planting and you're Chayav Bechutan. Now, Tanakama, Nami Hachikamar. Tanakama doesn't disagree with the position of Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. The Tanakama is addressing different issues. What's the kind of allegation? There are three different issues. There are three different issues in the Mishnah. One, fruits. Number two, Zera Pishtan. Three, Zorei Ginash and Nechalin. So the first case is Zera Perot. Perot are 50-50, let's call it. It's not even a row if they plant them. Most people eat them, and then some people plant them. Second case is Zera Pishtan, where most people plant them, right? But there's some who, or most seed is planted. There's some that don't plant it. And now there's the third case where nobody plants it. So that's Rav Shimon Gamliel is not addressing the case of the Tanakama. Who says the Tanakama disagrees? So Tanakama Achikamar Zera Pishtan Hu Denu Chayav Bechutan Hazarini Ginash and Achlim Chayav Bechutan. Right? Well, how would he say that? Zera Pishtan, you're not responsible. Because why? Because there it's the rove. Over here, when nobody plants it, you're going to be Chayav, right? He's going to say now you're not Chayav Bechutan. Well, Alav Otsa Ikabeinau. What do you do? That's the Tanakama explains the case. When you're chayav, the Tanakama says, when you're not chayav, is only in a case where you have an out. The case we have an out are when it's fruit and zera pishtan. We have no out, which is zareni gina, shein nechalin. In that case, he's going to say, right? Chayav yachrutan, what's to talk about? It must be that the difference between the Tanakama and Rav Shimon Gamliel is about expenditures. Mar sever dmei zera, umar sever afota. We're going to see in a second, right? So that the Tanakama holds that you only pay or replace the seed. But Rav Shimon Gamliel says you have to cover the expenditures as well. So my says, Mimai. How do you know it's that way? We don't know. All we know is that they both agree that when it comes to Zareen Ginash and Nechalin, that you're Chayav. How do you know it's the Tanakama who says that you only pay the seed, and it's the Shimon Gamliel who says that you pay for the hotzot expenditures? Maybe it's the other way around. When it says Halokasha, the Rashbam points out here, by the way, whenever the Gemara says Halokasha, means it has another question. Halokasha means this isn't the question. We're going to come to the new question. Halokasha is just a way to get to the next question, right? So Halokasha, Kotana, Bacho, the Tfuya Mil Sakate. It's a very interesting line of the Gemara. Whenever you have an additional Tana in the Mishnah, he always comes to be additive. And next, the last Tana is always additive. So in that case, if you have Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, it must be that he's adding something to the Tanakama. So if he's adding, it must be that Rabbi Shimon Gamliel holds that it's also the expenditures, and the Tanakama simply holds it's the seeds that you have to replace. So when it says, V'dilma kula Rabbi Shimon Gamliel here. Let us say that the whole Mishnah is Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. V'chasurei mechzaren, it's missing words. V'ochitani, and this is what it says. Amocha perot chaviro, person sells fruits to his friend, v'zaran, and he plants them, v'otzimchu, and they didn't grow. Afilu zara pishtan, eno chayav, or afilu zara pishtan, eno chayav, achriutan, there is not responsible. Divrei Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. Those are the words of Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. Sure, Rabbi Shimon Omer. Why is this Rabbi Shimon's definition? Because Rabbi Shimon Gamliel says, zarei ginash, eno nechalim, chayav, achriutan. That's only when they have no, absolutely no usage other than planting, are you responsible? But if you have any other usage or any other possibility of usage, then you're not going to be chayav. So the Mishnah is going to be explained as a chasure mechsra and kula Rabbi Shimon Gamliel in order to avoid having a machlokas Tanakama and Rabbi Shimon Gamliel over here.
I always thought that chasure mechsra was an Indian of Misora and not a theoretical, and not raised as, it can't be just raised as a what if. What if it's a chasure mechsra? Chasure
mechsra
is Misora. I learned from my,
I don't think that's true. Chasure mechsra is not necessarily Misora. Chasure mechsra is where we have evidence that it might be the other way, which is that those who have a brisa that shows that evidence that the Mishnah should have been read in a different light. So in that case, we say chasure mechsra. Chasure mechsra is not considered to be a problem in general because the Mishnayot were written in shorthand, number one, and they were meant to be abal peh originally. So the fact that chasure mechsra is not unusual. They were used as vehicles for memory, not as necessarily a complete explanation of everything that's there. So when we have a chasure
mechsra, then there's still the
Torah Shabbat. But, or that there was, I think more than so. Right. So the Gemara will say Chasurim. So the Rashbam is muda to your question, which is maybe Chasurim Mechsra, how do you apply it over here? Isn't that the Teretz Dachuk? Wouldn't we rather just say that there's the machlokes between them is Hotza'ah? So listen to this Rashbam. The Rashbam says over here, it's the Chasurim Mechsra, the Rashbam says, Ein Zeh Teretz Dachuk, which is what you're suggesting. Why would you go through such a crazy answer for Chasurim Mechsra? So he says, the Tov Lanu Lechasra Me'at Kederach Mishnah, Shmedaberet Mekotzer. Says, better to say a Mishnah is missing a couple words, or one word here, which is Divrei Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. Then v'lo neima yitzia ika benayu, that to talk about expenditures which are not mentioned in the Mishnah whatsoever. I mean that the leap to say that their machlokas is about expenditures which are totally absent from the Mishnah is a much greater leap than to simply say that it's divrei Rabbi Shimon Gamliel who's found in the Mishnah and to say kula Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. So he says that all right, you have to, you're already at a chasurei mechsra, which is that the Mishnah is missing some sort of explanation. So which is the better of the two explanations? If you want to take the two, better is to keep Rabbi Shimon Gamliel consistent and be the whole Mishnah than to say that we're bringing in a outside issue which was never mentioned in the Mishnah. So I think that addresses a little bit of what you're asking over here. All right, now the Gemara says, okay, so now which Rabbi Shimon Gamliel are we talking about? Because now we don't have a proof from our Mishnah. Aloha, Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. It's this Rabbi Shimon Gamliel from the Braisa, the Tanya. So a person who takes wheat, or they realize that kernels, right, to go and grind them down to flour, and he did not soak them before he did that. So the person who's doing the grinding, the miller, did not soak them beforehand. And masasu bin or musan. So in the end, he gets out bran, or he gets out some low quality flour because the person who was milling didn't do the right process over here. Or kemach lenachtum, he hands over flour to a baker, vafo pat nipulin, and he goes out and he bakes it into a pat nipulin. Here is a falling bread, but the Rashbam says that it's a folding bread, that it collapses and folds over. Whatever the problem is, that he didn't give him good quality bread back of that. Right, it was not a good quality of bread or fine loaf, as you're saying. Beima le tabach menivla. Geze beima to a tabach to shecht and nivla. Nevela, meaning that the shechita itself caused the nevela here. Chayav, mipnei shehu konoseh sachar. Where is chayav? Because each of these people is considered to be a uman, a craftsman, an expert, and he's being paid to do the work. Since he's being paid to do the work, he has a din like a noseh sachar. Noseh sachar has responsibility when he does wrong that he's got to pay for it. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel Omer Noten Lo Dmei Boshto Dmei Boshet Orchav. Shimon Gamliel on the other hand says, you know, you don't have to. The problem over here is not compensating for the loss, but rather for the boshet, the embarrassment that's caused over here. You embarrassed the individual and his orchim because now he doesn't have food to supply for them. Here he was getting all this food ready for a meal, and now he shows up and he doesn't have food for those that he invited over. So you have to pay for the Dmei Boshet and the Dmei Shiboshet Orchav, even though over here they are talking about what we call groma, right? That you call in groma. Of course you have to pay for the animal that you lost in the tziot, but up on, above that, you have to also pay for the Dmei Boshet. So above the extent of what you're paying for, we also have them pay for the Dmei Boshet and Dmei Shedor Chav. Right, so now that's a good question about Mazik B'Yadayim. Is he classified as a Mazik B'Yadayim or not classified as a Mazik B'Yadayim? Tosfos over here discusses one of his Shitot. We recently mentioned the Shitot of Tosfos, that a Gemara, Rabbi Yochanan makes a distinction in the Gemara in Baba Kama between whether he paid him or he didn't pay him. If he paid him, then he's a din of an osa sachar and he's chayav. If he does not pay him and he does it bechinam, then he's not responsible in that case when he does not pay him for him. If he does it bechinam, he's not. Tosus asks your question. He's an adam mazik. Adam mazik is chayav even in onsin. Right? There's no such thing as adam mazik who's patur, even by onsin. So here, Tosus develops, he mentions it over here, he develops the shito that onsin are not all the same. But there's a difference in Adam HaMazik and Onsin. There's an Ones like Aveda, and there's an Ones like Geneva. There's Ones like Aveda, which means that you're Karov the Pshia Ktzat. Then an Ones by Aveda is a little bit Karov the Pshia, and there Adam HaMazik will be Chayav. There's another type of Ones, which is like Geneva, which is a complete Ones. In a complete Ones, where we can't hold them, Kalpa Warat, there's an Ones Karov, the Ones Karov, right? Real Ones, which is that it was Nignav, it was stolen from him. In that case, Adam Mazik is Patur. So it develops the Shita that there's a such thing as a complete Ones where you will be Patur. And that he will class you over here. You're going to have to say over here that, if you look in the last three lines of Tosus, Alma, Avgav Dischar Chayav, Bechinam Patur, Avgav Davi Adam Mazik, Vainam Shum, the Ones who came Geneva Patur. That this is the case of Ones came Geneva, since his Ones came Geneva, that he is Patur over here, even though he's classified as Adam Mazik, because he's doing it Bechinam. When he does it Bechinam, he does not responsible like an Osis Sachar, he's only responsible like Adam Mazik, and over here he'll be classified as a Ones. Karov the Ones, right? Not Karov the Pshia, and therefore he'll be Patur. So that's your question is what forces Tosfos to develop this Shita that there's a difference in Ones by Adam HaMazik. Alright, now, V'chein, Haya, Rabbi Shimon Gamliel Omer, Minhag Gadol Haya B'Yerushalayim, that there was this such a Minhag or practice in Yerushalayim, Amoseh Su'uda L'Chaveiro V'Kilkala, the person who gives over a meal to his friend, meaning that to serve to his guests or to take care of, and he ruins it. Not only does he have to replace the meal, but he also has to compensate for the boshet that is created in this case. Om Minhag Gadol Haya B'Yerushalayim, there was another Minhag in Yerushalayim, Mapa Prusal Gabe Petach, if there is some sort of sheet or napkin that is placed on the doorway, as long as the napkin is extended, or chim nichnasim, then the guests can come in. Once they removed it, in orchim nichnasim, meaning that, you know, like they have the open and closed sign on the door of the store. This was a way to indicate that the door is still open for guests to come. Once they start serving the meal, you're too late. Meaning that you're too late to come already. That's not proper etiquette to enter at that point in time. And so they used to remove the mapa and say, you know, after that moment, after that point in time, do not enter, because the meal has already begun and that will interrupt the flow of the meal or cause people to have to move, because the way they sat in their day wasn't simply you pull up a chair and sit down. People were laying down on the sofas and it would cause a balagan. So it was an inappropriate etiquette to come in at that point in time. So they brought down these two minagei Yerushalayim that Rishon Gamliel mentions, and one of them is the shita from Rishon Gamliel, that you pay for demein boshet, demein boshet orchav, when it comes to expenditures, and he will be the shita. And we said before, the Yishomrim, that when it comes to Zera Pishtan, one is responsible for the Zera, and one is responsible also for the Tzot. Rav Shimon Gamliel is the one who says that you're responsible beyond just the actual damage, the Nezek, but even the more expansive damage that's caused over here. And in this case, it's bullshit. In the case of Zera Pishtan, it's expenditures that you had to plant the Pishtan, or the Zera. All right, we'll stop over here.